Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my beautiful co-host, Miss Michelle Vanoink, in the studio today. Today, we are talking about something that I think is very precious, Michelle. Sometimes we can mistake this for being a mood or an attitude, but it's actually, in fact, something that we have to continuously receive from heaven, directly from God himself. And today we are talking about what it means to be holy. But before we dive in, I know you have a fun announcement about an upcoming event for the ladies.
Women's Seminar is happening this month on Friday and Saturday, the 19th and 20th.
All right.
And we have a wonderful hostess, Ruth Posrednikov, Ruthie Karen, if you knew her before she got married. And she has all these great, fun ideas, and she's picked out great speakers.
Wow.
And we're going to have Jill Deditis from Canada. So we're really excited. So we want to make sure there's enough food for everyone. This is always my concern.
Yep. Got to go over the practicals too.
You know, want to get all the beautiful things on the table and make sure everyone can participate. So ladies, please go online and register.
Yes.
And if you want to bring a teenager, they only pay $15 for the weekend.
Okay.
So we're really encouraging. And there's a special teen session on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, sweet.
So we've made it easy for you girls. There's nursery.
Mm-hmm.
There's childcare Friday
that's
and
very
Saturday.
Helpful. Yes.
And it's ridiculously cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So go online, check out all the particulars and join us.
Wow. Oh, thank you. And thank you so much to Ruth, if you're listening. It's such a special way to kick off the fall and just kind of realign yourself with God. So thank you, Michelle, as well, for all the work and love that's being poured into that. I wanted to begin today with a quote that really struck me about holiness, because for a while I was studying, there was a lot of self-focus on, am I holy? Is my attitude holy all the time? I certainly don't feel holy all day when I'm managing so much emotion between my children, so much emotion in myself. And I really, really, I gravitated toward this when I was listening to a message by Dr. Robert A. Cook. I've mentioned him before. He used to have a ministry. You can still listen to a lot of his messages through his podcast. It's called Walk with the King Ministries, and it's from the early 70s.
Nice.
He was a pastor that just, he talks like a grandpa who loves the Lord and helps you remember what's most important. But he said this. He said, remember this. Your relationship with any given human being is God's contact with that life at that time. And so you and I need to be constantly trusting the Lord so that by His grace, God may indeed contact people's lives and transform them, and that the potential that is there might be realized because we were God's contact at the right time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I loved that so much because it spoke to God's holiness in such a special, sensitive way, helping me to further understand we are instruments. But you know what? We cannot produce godliness and holiness through following rules, through the right look, through the right words, or even through the right actions that may look like, wow, she's so much in the spirit. Oh my gosh, look at her. She's doing outreach. You know, she's cooking meals for these families that are in need. She reads her Bible all day long, I'm sure, in between cleaning her house and loving her children and loving her husband. We can get very tied to that, Michelle, because we want to attribute holiness to activity.
Sure.
But I remember a dear pastor in our ministry from the New Orleans church, Pastor Donnie Brown, saying one time to me when I was kind of comparing myself to other people earlier in my walk, and he said, don't mistake people's busyness for holiness.
Oh, that's good.
Don't do that, Jasmine, because everything you see people doing doesn't necessarily mean they're being spirit-led. That takes some time to sift through. I think sometimes we can follow things in our own leadership and say, well, because it's a godly action, it must be led by God. But it is not so all the time, you know?
Oh, well, I spent the entire month, I don't know, we pay a price to be on Grace Hour.
It's a good price. We love you guys. We love you.
It's so awesome.
It
and
is.
It's great that we don't pick the topics ourselves, because I never would have picked this. I had a book that I bought early in my Christian life, Spiritual Disciplines. Never read it.
Okay.
Never read it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I can fast for 5 minutes, maybe. Mm-hmm. I can pray for 10. You know, I can be nice at home for maybe 11.
Right.
And I spent so much of this month staring into the fuzzy navel of my flesh.
Oh, wow.
You know, repenting of sins. Mm. And after a while, it was like, really? Mm. Really? Is this conviction? No, I don't think this is conviction. This doesn't taste like conviction. Mm. And I like to ask my sons, because they've all been through Bible college, what do you think? And my son Wes was over. He's an archery specialist. He works in Lancaster. And I said, okay, I got it. Holiness is a big target. So everybody in the world is on the target, but then you go in and those are the people who believe in God. And then you go in and the next ring is I know you're frowning at me already. He was sitting there with his mouth open. He goes, the next part. I said to him, okay, the next part is true believers. And then that little center thing, those are the only people that are holy. And he goes, Mom, what's wrong with you?
Aww.
He goes, no, that is not what it is at all. He goes, you're talking about exclusive. You're pushing people away that you think are not holy.
Mm.
He goes, what? He goes, no, it's inclusive. Holiness, he said, is wholeness.
Mm, I love that.
Isn't that good to be corrected by your child?
But you know what? It's true. We can... Sometimes we can misinterpret, or we do our best to kind of put God's word through our own filter and say, oh, okay, God, I understand. I know how to apply this. And God is saying, actually, it's the contact with me that clarifies what you're thinking.
I love that.
And us being set aside as a special group. Yes, that is something that God does say in his word. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, he says, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy and have set you apart from the nations to be my own. But that's not meant to say that no one else can join in the family of God, or that God only exclusively disperses his holiness to certain ones that have to figure out what is the metric system. He is so ready to share pieces of himself from heaven. The problem is that we are still in the pursuit a lot of the time, thinking that we know what this process really means and that we are capable of leading it. And God says, no, actually, holiness is when everything falls into place. You let me be God and you allow yourself to receive from me. And then you see how that manifests in your life, in your actions, in your thinking patterns, because it's directly from heaven and it's not something you can muster up from you. You need to keep having that fellowship and that contact with me to receive what I'm doing today.
I love that. You know, if we associate holiness with striving and restriction and painful discipline, what about if it's just being set free from our burdens? Mm. Jesus says, come unto me. So wow. I dumped the archery target illustration, and I thought maybe it's like getting a blood transfusion from Jesus.
Oh, I love that.
You know, like no healthy person shows up at the hospital and said, I'm feeling great today. I'll take a blood transfusion, please.
Mm.
No, it's people who are sick, who, you know, who are wounded, who are broken. And I was like, okay, we could go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a child, of course, you're taught by your parents, you know, that Jesus is always watching.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I did the Stations of the Cross at my church, and I got it in my little mind that I owed it to Jesus to be on my best behavior.
Wow.
I understood what he did for me. I wasn't saved. But like, okay, we have to be really, really good, you know? And I think I veered off into niceness, you know, and pinned all my hopes on being a nice person. But when you're nice, you find a comfortable morality.
Yes, you do.
You can be nice at the grocery store and come home and be a witch, right? Oh, that's only me?
No, okay. I'm sure it's not. You know, that makes me think about the definition of holy. According to the King James Bible Dictionary, it says holy is described as properly whole, entire, or perfect in a moral sense, hence pure in heart, temper, or dispositions, free from sin and sinful affections.
That is beautiful.
You know, and this is something that, honestly, when I read that definition, I have two responses. In my flesh, I think of the word pressure.
Mm.
Okay. In my flesh, okay. That's what I think. This is not attainable for me. I already know I'm going to fail at this. If I put my mind to it and try to pick myself up by my bootstraps and try to have this holy attitude all day, I've already missed the mark, so to speak. But then when I say, actually, my goal today is going to be in true fellowship with God.
Oh.
That's the beginning of true holiness, because we are removing the focus from ourselves and saying, God, this is only something that I can attain through your ability working through me. And then that's why people do look at me and say, as the Bible says, that I'm a little peculiar, because there is a transformation that takes place when you renew me and refresh me. And it's evident, you know? And so when people see that, they can say, oh, I want to act like her, but it's not an act. When it's a genuine communication and contact with God, what you're watching is a manifestation of him through the person. And that's not something that you can put on or take off. There's only one way to it. And that's by your heart being put before him in that vulnerability, even through those tears, even through that pain, and saying, God, you know what? I want so badly to know it all. I do, but I don't. I need you so much. And I just pray that you speak to me, even if you just speak directly to me, something in my heart and my soul. When we have that contact, then I can rest. I can be in a real freedom, because I am creating a bondage with trying to have all these rules to follow that don't work. And they're not authentic. They're not genuine. They're not helpful.
You're right. We don't see Jesus rebuking sinners mm-hmm. in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's really pure and wonderful, but we see him saying, woe unto you Pharisees
yes.
and scribes. And if we say, well, forget niceness, that didn't work, I'm going to be a Pharisee. We don't say that, but we start keeping rules mm-hmm. and we have our little check mark at home. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we lean to our strengths. You know, and we compare our strengths to someone else's weakness, mm-hmm. and we feel really good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're just engaging in technical rule keeping, mm-hmm. you know, and our friends and neighbors see us in the backyard straining gnats, and they're like, wow, you know, she's something. But behind closed doors, I'm swallowing camels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, holiness mm-hmm. is not about willpower, determination. And it's also not shame. We're so meek and mild because we're ashamed. That masquerades as conviction.
Yeah.
But I read this book, The Utter Relief of Holiness, and John Eldridge says that rather than being this daunting or distant ideal, holiness, he says, is an expression of the healing of our humanity.
Mm, I love that. I love that, Michelle, because I think something that we undermine in many cases is we forget that, yes, there is this amazing, beautiful heavenly standard, but we also have access to God. And rather than focus on, am I going to fail or am I going to fulfill what God wants us to use that access. What is the access? It's prayer. It's meditating and understanding what he's written. Even last week when I was going through the books of the Bible with my own children, I was saying, hey guys, there's this special portion of the Bible called a concordance. And you can go to that when you have questions or you want to hear what God thinks about certain matters. So if you're angry, what kind of verses do you think you should look up? And they said, verses on anger. I said, yes. I said, if you are worried, what kind of verses should you look up? They said, verses on being worried or anxiety. I said, yes, you know, because I want them to understand there's an aspect of holiness that we forget is very practical. You know, we can become very self-aware and say, oh, you know what? I have this hostility in my mind. I'm not being holy right now. And then we can say, let me shift a little bit. Let me shift my attitude. But that's not genuine.
Right.
If you really want to obtain holiness, then you need to stop what you're doing or set aside a time where you and God are going to be paying special attention to each other. And then let that become something that you build from. That's how you are really meditating on who he is and incorporating him into the practical decisions of your life. But you know, we have to remember that living on the earth, morality, heart posture, and disposition, they are saturated by worldly influences.
Sure.
every single day. So there's always something waiting to get you off your alignment, you know, and we keep going back to the source that we need. The same source is how we are to live our lives successfully. That's real success, that I would protect that time with God, or that if I don't protect it, when I recognize so much of my life feels chaotic and is chaotic, I'm going back to the source that can realign me, renew me, refresh me, talk to me from heaven. I'm going to use that access because that's how I obtain God's holiness and God's thoughts. I need to be in fellowship with Him. I can't do something of God if I'm not in communication with God.
That's beautiful. You know, as children, we were taught if your clothes catch on fire, which is very seldom. That has actually never happened to me.
Oh, that's good.
I have made several kitchen fires and burned several teapots, but it was drop and roll. Mm-hmm. And we need to make a spiritual application. Stop, listen, and just let God love you. Mm. You know, we can't repent out of our brokenness.
Right.
We're human. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time this month repenting out of what I now see as demonic oppression or projections. Mm. And please don't Google how to be holy, because you'll get all these.
Please don't do
it. It's so easy.
Oh, Lord.
We have 5 steps for you to do, or we have 10 steps for you to do.
Right.
Well, every morning you've got two. Mm-hmm. And one was like, okay, read this 4-page prayer out loud every morning. And I was like, no, I can't. Mm. I can't. But Ezekiel 36:26, I love this. If you've taken biblical psychology, Pastor Schaller will probably refer to this verse every single class, and we need it. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I read this book by Eugene Peterson. I Googled the top 10 books on holiness a month ago.
Michelle.
And one of them was a book I was already reading.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, okay, I don't have to get this from the library because I already did. And it was Eugene Peterson, Practice Resurrection. And he says, we practice resurrection life. Here's the big secret. Keep company with Jesus.
Yes.
Enter into what is more than what we are or can be. And he says, we've received an invitation to live in eternity in time through the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
There's the simple, you don't need those 10 steps.
No.
You don't need to do anything else.
I love that. I really love that so much, because we can look at it so much as being this spiritual code of conduct.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it really reduces what God wants to do in our heart. And, you know, it makes me also think, Michelle, of Psalm 73, verse 26, that says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And you know what? We're going to fail. We're going to fail. We are distracted by so much. We are tempted all the time. We believe that we do know the right answers 99, if not 100% of the time.
110
but you know,
for me.
But we have to remember that God tells us to use that access to Him that we have. He's the resource that we need to draw from. His words, His promises, His warnings, His teachings. Abiding in Him is how we receive His holiness. And welcoming Him to lead the conversation about our identity is what restores us.
Beautiful.
You know, I remember being at Michigan State, I had just become saved. I have this Bible in front of me that I have a friend continuing to reference. You know, the answers are in here. And I'm just thinking, I don't even know what this thing is saying. So I would try to open and look at different portions and say, did I understand that? Did I understand that? But I was so heavy with so much guilt and so much shame about things that I had not yet repented about. I was still kind of learning what that meant. And I remember there was a verse in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, and I just used to stare at it and meditate on it and meditate on it. And it just kept bringing, like you said, so much healing, so much restoration. And it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be as wool. And you know what? I needed this verse so desperately, because I needed to believe that I could be holy. I needed to believe that God loved me and wanted me and wanted to have relationship and be friends with me, and that he wasn't just turning his head away because I had done so much wrong, that there just wasn't a chance for me. There's just these holiness and manifestation of him in me. I needed to know that that was actually available to me. And we can live in this mindset of saying, it's great to see God moving in other people's lives, but it's just not going to happen for me. There's just too much in my past. I don't think I've repented of every single thing that I can think of. So there's probably one thing I missed, and that was my chance. You know, we just keep bringing it down to this human standard. And God says, you have to let me be different.
Beautiful.
You have to stop applying so much of what you know about how people relate to each other to me. I'm different, and I'm offering you something supernatural.
Well, I love 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Mm. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Mm. We're not very good at holiness. Have you ever started a diet and Monday you are going great guns and in 10 days you're like, what? I'm on a diet. Oh, wait a minute. What? You know, and we're hit or miss, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay because we're not supposed to be looking horizontally.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to be looking vertically. Mm. And I know the name saint is so foreign to us. Mm. You know, if someone says, oh, you're such a saint, or, you know, oh, you deserve that new car that you just bought. Well, you just bought it because it was a great deal, and there was it was stupid not to. But, you know, you're like, no, I don't deserve anything.
Right.
But it, like, I liked what you said in the beginning. It means set apart, mm-hmm. not who we are on our own, mm-hmm. but who God is in us and through us, mm-hmm. not how we treat God, mm-hmm. but how he treats us. And yeah. he makes us look good.
Yeah.
He makes us look smart. I had someone say to me the other day, oh, I'll never forget what you said. And I was like, oh, okay. She goes, oh, it changed my whole marriage. I'm like, oh, well,
oh,
what was that?
I want to know.
Yeah, because I don't remember. And she told me, and I'm like, I don't think I said that, but okay. Okay. No, she was adamant. She knew the day and the time, and we were alone, and I just said this. And it's like, oh, God makes us look good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in the New Living Translation, that verse is, may the God of peace make you holy.
Yes.
In every way.
Yes.
And I'm going to go the Amplified because it's just crazy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. Mm. That is, and I love the Amplified for putting the peanut butter on the low shelf, separate you from profane and vulgar things. Well, he certainly did that. Make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose.
Wow.
And that verse shows me it's not my job to make myself holy.
Yes.
I can't do that.
Right, right. I love that. And I love this moment of interaction with this person because it just speaks even more to the fact that even though a lot of the time, because of our mistakes and because we need to constantly be marinating on what God says about us, not what we say about ourselves, we can feel like, how could you receive anything from me when I feel so damaged? You know, I feel so much like I'm just damaged goods walking around saying, God, all right, I want to sense your presence. You know, I need that restoration today because there's so much attacking me. But it's just further evidence, you know, the reason why you don't remember is because you were used as an instrument in that moment. That contact with God was made and her life was changed because you made contact with her life. That was God using you to speak to her. And it's amazing how much when people, you know, give you compliments or, you know, say something about you that you do appreciate, really what it comes down to is you're saying, I'm so glad that you could see God in me at that moment.
Really?
Because I don't even remember what you're talking about. I mean, I don't even know what happened this morning because there's so much that my mind battles and so much that life throws at me. And I'm going to the same well that you are. We are both drawing from the same Christ. And it is absolutely amazing. And God does that, I believe, to edify us as well. See, you are usable. See, when you really do access me and we have that connection, we check in with each other. I can put words in your mouth as I did Jeremiah, and lives can be changed. So don't think that you're limited because you're you. I intentionally made you, but you know, that receptivity to me is something that is going to constantly be under attack. So remember, if you want to serve me and live for me, if you want people to see me in you, what am I saying to your heart today? You know, there's even been times when God has said something to me. I'm sure this has happened to you. And God has just put someone's face, boom, right there. And I'm thinking, God, this is my quiet time with you. I don't want to send them a text right now. I just want to sit with you and hear more. And God is saying, I gave it to you because you are able to have this time with me, but they are struggling and they shared that with you. So now you have a word from me to give them specifically. You are meant to share it. I want the contact with me, and it can happen through all of you as instruments if you're being led by me. Don't reduce it and say, oh, I want to be an instrument today, so I'm going to choose my favorite verse. I'm going to see which one makes me sound the most holy. And then I'm going to ask God to bless it. Amen.
And you know? Calling Susie because she really needs this.
Yeah. It's Susie. She's the one that came to mind. Not really. She's just the one you want to tell off or embarrass. Yeah. Or again, like you said, make yourself feel better about your own life. You know, isn't it amazing how we can distort what God is trying to do when we put our human hands on it and say, hey, God, listen, because of this ability I have, I'm just going to take over and lead in this one. And God says, no, no, no. Your abilities actually reach their full potential when they're submitted.
That's beautiful. Well, we think about people in the Bible, and our engineer reminded us today, many people in the Bible knew themselves to be anything but holy. Mm. And Luke 5:8, Simon Peter saw the catch of fish. He fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Mm. And Mary Magdalene, Zacchaeus, Thomas, the woman with the issue of blood, were all very aware of their failures and faults and hurts and brokenness. And yet they found the holiness of Jesus attractive, compelling, and open-armed. Mm. You know, and that's what I want to, whatever Christian witness I have, whatever, go figure. I want to be approachable and welcoming.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I don't know. Holiness, I think we start making decisions and God turns us and turns us and turns us. Mm-hmm. I used to celebrate every good message in the first year of my salvation by coming home and popping open a bottle of champagne. Well, I no longer do that. Mm. You're happy to know. And I can't open that door. I can't put alcohol in my spaghetti sauce, even though I know, you know, a half a cup of red wine is what's called for in the recipe. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, we're not opening that door. Mm. And I don't see that as particularly holy, but Pastor was talking about wisdom last night. Pastor Justin, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
Yes.
So I'm not particularly holy by not drinking alcohol. It's just, wow, I can't open that door.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that you're just being conscious of the fact that because you are now set apart, you consult God ongoingly.
Beautiful.
You know, that's what it means, because sometimes things can ensnare you again and you don't realize that also actually needs to leave, because it can be so interwoven into your life. You don't even question whether or not it should stay in your life. Surely this is fine. This is just something that I do every Monday night. This is just a way I get together with the girls or with the guys. You know, I'm promoting community. I'm fellowshipping, whatever you have to say to yourself. And then it's like you need that sober. And it's often, I think it's very gentle from God that he just kind of places a little grievance in your heart when you start thinking about something that you're doing, that he's saying it's time for this to go.
Yes. This morning before I came here, I had to delete a TV show from my Netflix
list.
Well,
good for you. That's hard.
Because I had started watching the show and the first episode was great. Mm-hmm. And it's set back in the 1940s. I don't know anything about this, in Australia. Aww. So I'm like, oh, learning all these things. This is great. This is, oh, I'm not going to say anything more because I don't want you looking this up. And then there was all of a sudden in the second episode, a character sin, not the main character.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then in the third episode, somebody else did something. And the fourth episode, someone else. And I could not come here this morning without deleting that because my son Jason will also always say to me, Mom, we got the three strike rules. You know, like one swear or one sin or one something and we're done.
Yeah.
And I had to go this morning and say, I love the main character.
Yeah.
I love the story.
Yeah.
But I can't go any further because hello, Michelle, you're already defiled. Stop
right.
now.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think holiness releases us from idolatry.
Oh, I love
it. You know, I had this little show like it was my special thing.
Yeah.
Five episodes and I'm already.
I know. Isn't that incredible?
And I looked, it went for 6 years. There's 60 episodes.
Oh,
but
my
we're
gosh.
Done. Because idolatry requires sacrifice. Am I going to sacrifice, you know, 55 more hours of my life watching this and just hoping there's no more defilement? Oh, hello. If we're already got three.
I know.
Stop now.
I know.
But we sacrifice, maybe not money. Maybe we didn't go and buy this cute little idol at the, you know, the Walmart idol store. But our time.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Our money, but lost opportunities.
Yes, yes.
You know?
And I'll never forget Pastor Shibeli, our missionary pastor in our ministry, saying in a message years and years ago, he said, you have to protect your ear gate and you have to protect your eye gate.
Yeah.
And if you are filling that with something that constantly the spirit in you is at war and then your flesh is saying, oh, just overlook it. Just keep overlooking, just keep looking past it. Things are going inside of you and they are influencing in the back of your thinking patterns, how you're going to speak to people, how you're going to treat people. And then you get to this protective place, like you were saying, where you say, well, there is such a big part of me that just likes this and can relate to this in my flesh, or I find it so interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to protect that instead of protecting the voice of God inside of me saying, come away. Come away.
Holiness releases us from idolatry and shallow holiness.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to be a shallow surfer.
It is.
You know?
It is.
And still look good to everybody else and just hide. But it also rescues us from the results of sin. I will never have to deal with a hangover ever again for the rest of my life. Mm. And I read this little quote. Yeah, I'm going back to alcohol. A man takes a drink and then the drink takes a drink. And then the drink takes the man.
Wow.
You know, in your 20s, you can handle anything because you've got this crazy metabolism, you know, and you can sleep 2 hours and get up and go to class the next morning.
Yep.
But in your 30s, you got kids. It's a little harder.
Yeah.
How about in your 50s?
Mm.
You know, you've let this thing crawl into bed with you.
Yes.
Whatever sin it is.
Yes.
And
yes.
Holiness renews us.
It does.
It heals what's broken. Psalm 119:32, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. So to me, holiness, I don't ever feel holy, but I can still make those daily deposits into God's word, reading
it.
My Bible.
Yes.
And he gives us the new heart and I'm like, enlarge my heart so that we can run.
I love that. I love that. I love that the entire basis of holiness means that I keep returning to my Father. That's really what it means. I keep returning to my Father. What do you have to say? I bring this before you, even in your weaknesses, you know, because it can be very easy to say, I just won't pray about this because I know that I'm wrong. And I don't like how that feels to be calling myself out under this holy, pure, beautiful God. But we have to remember that, you know, he sees eternity. Mm. He's seen our entire lives and he still chose to make us, even though he saw the span and the longevity of all the mistakes. He's looking at the potential and he's saying, if you stay connected to me, it's not about getting it right every day. It's not about never failing. It's not about not ever making a mistake. It's about returning to me. I know you're weak. I know, but you're still this beautiful instrument that I've designed and I can use. The key is me. It's not you. It's not you trying to have self-control and do self-management and say, in the name of God, I will not. In the name of God, I will. You know, he wants it to be this organic, ongoing fellowship between you all where this friendship continues to flow out of you because of real ways, like you said, he's making deposits in your heart.
It's beautiful. You know, I told you I was thinking about something I did when I was 3 years old, mm-hmm. which is 67 years ago.
Oh.
My mom had gotten all these cute little samples of lipstick from an Avon party or something. Mm-hmm. And we slept in the same room together. She was a single mom living with her parents. And I always woke up earlier than her, and I saw all these beautiful little lipsticks lined up on her dresser. I ran and got paper, and I thought they were crayons, and I drew pictures for her. So when she woke up the next morning, I was so happy to show her all these pictures.
Mom.
And she was devastated, and she was mad, and I was so confused. Like, yeah. Weren't those for me? Doesn't the whole world revolve around me? And my son, I talked to one of my sons this weekend, and I told him this story, and he goes, Mom, don't you think she would forgive you if she yeah. was alive?
Yeah.
And he goes, don't you think, isn't it a joy to forgive children when they make a mistake?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, we okay, well, all right, the bowl is already broken, and there it is on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Do we wail the tar out of our kids because
right.
they accidentally knocked a bowl on the floor? No,
right.
we're like, okay, honey, well, that was special, but you know what? Let's just clean it up.
Yeah.
And we're just, hey, one less thing to dust.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we love to forgive our children and help them. No, don't cry. It's all right. Mom doesn't care. Mom cares more about you.
Yes.
You yeah. know, and I have to teach myself and treat myself the same way.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I love Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, he knew what I was going to do with those lipsticks.
Yeah.
We should be holy and without blame before him. Him in love.
Mm.
And we wrestle with things of our flesh, maybe self-hatred, regret, gossip, stealing, idolatry, inappropriate sexual thoughts. They
yes.
pop up.
Yes.
And God created us to enjoy life, mm-hmm. right? Enjoy our family,
mm-hmm.
enjoy laughter,
mm-hmm.
and let's just relax.
Yes.
And Dr. Stevens taught us when some foul thought or desire rises up, whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, instead of, you know, repenting and being ashamed for days,
mm-hmm.
he said, laugh. Just laugh at it. Say,
wow.
Oh, wow, that popped up while I was in the shower. Well, that's not me.
Mm.
I don't want that.
Mm.
We can shepherd our own hearts.
Wow.
Like, you know, a shepherd would say, no, you're not going to eat that. Come mm-hmm. on over here,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there are sometimes poisonous weeds that they go and they'll dig up and make sure. Let's just shepherd our own hearts and say, no, I don't want that. That's my old sin nature.
Wow. I love it. I love how much you're speaking about the joy that can be experienced in having a holy mindset, you know, because sometimes we can really just make it such a rigid type of pursuit. And then we feel robbed. We feel like we failed before we've even begun. But I love what you're saying. You know, I love this image of the shepherd, and I love so much of what you're saying about how it's just about allowing God to love us and not taking ourselves too seriously all the time. You know, like we really do need to laugh, you know, so much instead of realize that, oh no, I've made another mistake. Well, you know, you're going to. That's part of being a human being, you know. And we don't think about God as being somebody who laughs with us and smiles at us and says, you know what? Everything about how you're created, it's just such a delight to me, you know? And so before you consider the fact that, yes, this mistake is something I didn't want to do, or maybe something long ago is still very much plaguing the memory, you have to remember and remind yourself often, Michelle, there is no surprise factor with God. He knows everything. So don't treat him as though he and you just found out that this happened, because that's where we can live. Maybe if I just, you know, hide this a little bit, God won't see it. You know, he sees all, he knows all, and he wants you to remember that he is wanting to be your resource for continuous renewal and continuous reminder about who you are in his eyes. I even pray about that. I remember you actually mentioned over a year ago, you would say, God gives me a verse every year.
He does.
And that helps me. I pray for that verse. God, how do I apply this verse to my year? You can see the next year. I can't. And ever since you said that, I remember I began praying, God, help me to see my life through your perspective. And everything that I'm doing, when there's broken bowls, when there's screaming matches between siblings, when I disappoint myself, you know, help me to laugh. Help me to remember I'm loved by you. And that's not dependent on what I'm doing or not doing. It's just a decision that you've made. And you want me to walk in that every day of my life and believe it. Really believe in what you've done for me.
Well, he's put this verse in 1 John 3:20. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things.
Absolutely.
You know, and I referred to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the next verse is, faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it.
Yes,
he's a little bit every day turning us towards himself. And then in the Amplifies, it says, faithful and absolutely trustworthy is he who is calling you to himself for your salvation, and he will do it. And then there's the brackets of the Amplified. He will fulfill his call by making you holy, guarding you, watching over you, and protecting you as his own.
Wow.
We know we have a call, but I never considered God has a call. It's not our call to make ourselves holy.
Right.
It's his call to do it.
Yes. Amen. Amen. We just have such an opportunity to be a part of his plan, you know, and I just pray we all take him up on that invitation, because he's there waiting for us every day just to talk, just to shower us with love and to remind us that we're forgiven for all of us, for all of it. He can use us as instruments, and it is amazing. We don't always understand it, but little us down here, we can be used to change the lives of other people when God's manifestation is flowing through us. And that's just, that's such a beautiful thing. Thank you, Lord,
Amen.
That you're that Amen. Great, that you really can place pieces of heaven in me.
Amen.
Wow. Thank you so much, Michelle. I was so blessed to be able to just study this and be with you today. And thank you all so much for listening. We pray that you were edified and encouraged. And please make sure you subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us throughout the week as we continue to talk about the holiness of God. He loves you. We love you. Have a blessed week, everybody.